Your Bibles, Joshua chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24, a familiar passage with many of you. I'm going to just use it as kind of a leapfrog this morning, and we'll reconvene on our messages through the book of Luke next Sunday morning. I'm taking a break just to bring a special Father's Day message this morning. Let's look at Luke 24:15. Many of you know this passage, Luke 24:15. This is Joshua. Now, let me give you a little bit of background with Joshua. Joshua, he is about to, he's going to die in soon, because when Judges starts, Joshua's dead. And Joshua, he was the understudy of Moses. Moses had the tougher job, if you ask me. Joshua's job was to take the Israelites into the promised land and conquer and bring judgment upon all those nations that were due judgment to be brought against them. So, you know, people like to criticize God or criticize Joshua and the Israelites. They were doing the work of God by his commandment that would bring judgment that was perfectly timed and perfectly due. Joshua went into the promised land and conquered the people. Sadly, they didn't do it thoroughly, and it would be a thorn in their flesh for centuries to come. But I say Joshua had the easier job because really the reality is, it is he had all the children of all the whiners and complainers. Remember when the spies came out and they 10 spies gave an evil report and 2 spies gave a good report? The Israelites listened to the negative news. And God said, fine, you don't trust me. And they blamed it and they said, well, we would go in, God, except our children. And God said, fine, no problem. All those 20 years and older, you will wander in the wilderness 1 year for every day they spied the land. That was 40 days. They would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. And he said, everyone 20 and older will die, and it's your children that are going to inherit the land. And so the children had 40 years maybe to learn and be ready, and they were then the people that entered into the promised land and to conquer it. You remember this in Joshua 1, I won't take us back there, but Joshua, it said 4 times, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. I'm preaching to men this morning, but to every single person in this room. So when I'm emphasizing men, don't discount that as though it doesn't apply to you, because really what we need is soldiers, soldierettes for Christ. And so it is be strong and of good courage, he told Joshua, right? And so it is Joshua was a man that had to depend on God. And it brings us to this verse here as Joshua speaks to them. Look at this in verse 15. And look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've titled the message, Joshua, Great Man of Diligence. I've just been on that thought. I think it's of the Lord, but I can be wrong, that I want us to focus on the thought of diligence. So first, I just used AI and said, what does AI tell me diligence is? And I sort of liked the definition, and whoever they are, right? It's just a conglomeration of what you'll find. But here's the definition of diligence. Refers to steady, earnest, and persistent effort applied to accomplish a task or duty. So it's the diligence. It's the diligence that you are steady, you're earnest, you're persistent in accomplishing a task. I tell people all the time, the problem with America is Christians. But now let me dive down. The problem with America is Christian men. We need men to lead. The reality is, the most godly people that I typically meet, they're women. And I praise the Lord for that. We need godly women. But I'll tell you what our country needs. I'll tell you what our families need. I'll tell you what our cities need is godly men that will stand gently and in love for God. They need to be diligent. that their focus is God, that their focus is to honor and please the one that really matters. God has given us family. God has given us people in our lives so that we can glorify and honor Him. Are we steady? Are we earnest? Are we persistent? And then it says this, it combines careful attention to detail with the endurance required to see a project through to completion. I want to help you with this. We all want the 10-minute solution. We all want the 5-minute solution. We all want to snap our fingers. We all want to take a pill and have it fixed. You know what diligence is? You know what being a servant of the King is? It's being steadfast. It's being persistent, but it's enduring as well. It's to say, as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then I love this. It's the direct opposite of negligence or sloth. Sloth, for our front row scholars, is not an animal, but it is laziness. Laziness. Laziness is more prevalent today than I've ever seen before. And I would maybe blame it on technology because we sit so much more, we just watch so much more, and we are just here to be entertained. You know what that creates? Lazy men. You want to be diligent, you need to be a worker. You need to be a man that's not lazy. You need to know what God wants, and we need to do it with endurance, with diligence, with persistence, with earnesty. Now, just I've got how many points do I have today? Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 points with a bunch of subpoints. But let me first tell you, these are the verses. You see Joshua 24:15 that we talked. There's an accompanying verse that I love in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that somewhat goes along with that definition of diligence. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, talking to Christians, talking to believers, be steadfast. Be consistent. I'm going to be steadfast. Unmovable on the right things. Not stubbornness. This is always bad. But he means be steadfast, unmovable on the things that you know that God wants us to do. Because there will be pressure. Pressure for every single one of us in this room to give in to the ways of the world. There's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be a movement. Sometimes loud, sometimes silent. But he said this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here's the most beautiful thing. When we serve and honor Christ, when we are diligent, I want you to remember that word today, when we're diligent, oh men, but it's everybody in this room, but oh men, when we're diligent, we can be used of God to make a difference. Do you want to be diligent? It's a determination by God's grace that we be diligent. I do want to take you to one verse, and I didn't put it in my notes, but I thought about it after I did my notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I won't reference this a lot, but I never want you to forget this. I never want you to forget this. I want us men to be men of diligence. I want us men to be men that can be depended on. I want us men to be men that are workers. I want us men to just do the work of God with zeal and with enthusiasm and endurance. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but I must take you to this. Let me make this statement. The only way we can be the kind of man I just described is by the grace of God. Remember what grace is, getting what we don't deserve. It's undeserved kindness of God. I want you to understand this. Whoever is the most diligent person in this room, it's by the grace of God. Never forget that. Let's read this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul is making some incredible statements here. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I want you to understand this. Whatever you are, whatever good there is, it's by the grace of God. It's not by your goodness. It's not by you. But there's a balance here. I want to show you this. So I want you to understand this. God has given us His kindness to do the task that He commands us to do. But He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed on me, was not in vain. Now, I love this. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. But His grace that was bestowed on me was not in vain. I want you to know, God has distributed kindness because every kindness of God is undeserved. Amen? It is. We don't deserve anything because we have rebelled against God. God has shown his grace to every single person in this room. Here's the question. Have you received it? And have you taken advantage of it, or has it been in vain? Paul says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace was bestowed on me, and his grace that was bestowed on me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Wow, that's a statement. But I labored more abundantly. He was a harder worker than anybody, but he said this, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see, an outcome of this message that would be horrendous is that we would be diligent and full of pride. Be diligent and take upon ourselves credit as though I'm better than you. Be diligent and worry about what you're doing. We want to be diligent because God is worthy. I want you to understand that. Remember that word diligence. Joshua was diligent with a difficult people, and we're all difficult. Be diligent with a difficult pastor, right? I'm trying to be less difficult. And so you're like, haven't seen it yet. Just you keep praying. You keep praying. I have goals. I want to be diligent. It's intense. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Man, this is not, hey, this would be nice if you got it. No, this is critical that you get this. I have learned how to hit this pulpit, so I don't hit my bones, so don't worry. It's not as crazy as you think, because I'm like, I hit it wrong once, and it bruised for quite a while. So I have learned. So you see this strategy? Don't worry. There's no bones in that slap. But I also do it. People say, why do you do that? To wake you up. Right? Little antics will wake you up. I want you to understand this. Joshua was a great man of diligence. I want us to look at four things that Joshua did. Joshua had personal diligence. Personal diligence. You still have your Bibles open to Joshua 24. We'll just reference verse 15 throughout the message. Joshua 24:15. And so I want you to see this again. Let's read Joshua 24:15 again. And since I'm so close, I'll just back up for those of you. You can look it on the screen if you don't have it. And it says here, I'll just read it from the screen because it's bigger. I had another eye surgery on Thursday. Thank you for your prayers. And so my eyes are still adjusting. I have another eye surgery on July 9th. And so that one will be more serious, but it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. But today my eyes are adjusting, so it's like, it feels like they got worse, but when I close one eye, it's like, man, you're looking good. When I open this one, it's like, you're gone. It is, so don't worry, all is well. But I was struggling. Could you see? I was struggling reading the scriptures. Did I butcher it? Okay, because it was like, I have to kind of look out of the corner of my eye at times. But these are bigger. Anyway, enough on that. Joshua 24. Joshua speaking this, and if it seemed evil unto you, serve the Lord. You know it seems evil unto some people to serve the Lord? But it's a choice. If it seemed evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to focus on this, as for me. Men, before you can help anybody, you yourselves must get things right with God. Joshua did. Joshua, he had personal diligence. I show you this verse here, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. It says this. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, this is talking to people that were claiming to be Christians. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Peter, through God, is telling them their calling, their salvation, their election, that they were chosen for service. I want you to understand this. He says this, are you saved? It's a big deal. I love that. I love that, right? Wonderful, wonderful, right? I don't you love children? Don't you love that? We need that kind of boldness that, you know what? They're going to learn what a rhetorical question is. Do you know what a rhetorical question is? One that is not intended to be answered. But you know what I love about kids? Don't you love that? It's this, not ashamed. Isn't it beautiful? I want to ask you, I'm not here to make you doubt your salvation. But I will tell you, everyone I meet tells me that they're a Christian. I had a second eye surgery on the good eye this past week. I had six more tears in this eye. And the doctor I witnessed to him lightly the last time, but he's moving to Texas. So this time, you know, after the surgery, just in case he didn't like it, right? And I looked at him, and I said, "Doctor, are you born again?" Because a lot of people don't know what that is. And if you don't know what that is, that doesn't mean you're not saved. But I said, "Doctor, are you born again?" He said, "I am." He didn't know there's a part two to the question. I said, "When were you born again?" And he said, "Well, I grew up in a Presbyterian home." And I said, "Doctor, I have news for you." I said, "Nobody's born a Christian. You were blessed that you were born in a home that I trust gave you the truth of the Bible, but you're not going to heaven because you were raised in a Presbyterian home." I said, "You have worked super hard." And I love this guy. He had that perfect balance of confidence without being arrogant, because before he does these things, he did again. He said, "There's a 1 in 4,000 chance that you'll go blind." And he said, then he gives me the other statistics. He goes, "But don't worry, that never happens with me." And I was kind of, I like that, you know. It wasn't a swagger that wasn't good, you know. But it's so weird, you know, when you're having this eye surgery and he's like, "Look up," you know, like, "I'm afraid if I move my eye, 1 in 4,000, you know. And so, you know, you're kind of, it's kind of mental. And I told him this. I said, "Doctor," I said, "you have been so diligent," because it was on my mind. I said, "Nobody gets to where you're at unless you've sacrificed, unless you've dedicated yourself to a cause." And I said, "You were dedicated to be a great surgeon, a great doctor, and I'm blessed to have you as my doctor." I said, "But you know what I think you've neglected? Your eternal soul." I said, "Doctor, I want you to know, I want you to be as diligent with knowing God and knowing what He wants as you were at getting to where you're getting. I said, you do an awesome job, but I said, you're going to die one day. And I said, everybody that you help is going to die because of sin. I said, oh, doctor, be diligent." And I said, "If you read one book of the Bible," what book did I tell him? John. I said, "I want you to read the Gospel of John. I want you to read this book. Oh, doctor, it's a big deal. This is not casual." And I love that he's intense, you know, about, and I mean, not with his personality, but he was intense about his studies and about my eye and all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of doctor I want, right? But I told him this. I said, "You need to be diligent about your eternal life." I said, "Do you know Christ personally? I beg you for this. Every man in this room, before you can help anybody, before you can be an eternal blessing to anybody, you must be born again. The most diligent person ever to walk the face of the earth was Jesus Christ. And you know why he was diligent? First, because of his love for the Father, and he came to do the will of the Father. Second, because he loved you. It's amazing. You remember this? The Garden of Gethsemane, what Jesus went through. I don't know if we'll ever fully understand. I think we'll get better understanding in eternity. But when Jesus said this, "Oh, Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine." There's nothing hard for God, but if there's something that was close to hard for God, it was when he was forsaken by his Father and when he took upon himself our eternal punishment. But he did it because he loved you. Aren't you glad Jesus was diligent? Aren't you glad that Jesus endured? Aren't you glad that Jesus was steadfast and he didn't quit? He gave us the great example. And I want to tell you, here's the tragedy. The tragedy is there's people under my preaching today that you will walk out of this room today and you don't know Christ and he doesn't know you. And that's the tragedy. You know enough, but you don't know Christ. Do you know Jesus? I'm going to tell you something else that I love about Joshua. He not only had faith in Christ, but he had pursuit of Christ. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So let's just talk about this. He said this, "I want Christ." I just remind you all, how were people saved in the Old Testament? The same way we are saved. By faith in the work of Jesus Christ. That's the only way anybody's getting to heaven from Adam on. There's not two ways of salvation, there's only one. It's the work of the Messiah on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I want you to know that. And Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And he's making that pronouncement. If every man here were honest, that's a bold statement, isn't it? But it came from his heart because he said, "I want to honor Christ." So many people that I meet, when I ask them, if they're going to heaven? Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've got dinner cooking. And man, thanks for stopping by. They're not pursuing Christ. I can't know their heart, but I'm surely concerned, because let me tell you this. If you truly are saved, Jesus should be wonderful to you. Jesus should be just the best part of your day. On your worst day, remember how much Jesus has done for you. On your worst day, remember how good Jesus is. I want to tell you, if our church becomes the worst church in the history of mankind, it doesn't tarnish Jesus Christ. He is still wonderful. You understand that? Don't you put your faith in people. Don't you put your faith in a church. I know everybody says that. I mean it. It's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can remove your sins. He's the only one that can make you righteous so that you can have eternal life. And I want to tell you this. Do you pursue him? Do you love him? Do you rejoice after him? And I know we battle this flesh. And so you've just got to understand that is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's the way I would say it. As for me and my house, I'm going to do the best I can to try and serve the Lord. And I know there's going to be bumps in the roads, and I'm going to have to say all that. I love Joshua because he's saying this. By the grace of God, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know what I love about Joshua? He knew all the bumps. He knew all the failures. He knew all the trials. But he said this. By God's grace, I'm going to get back up, and I'm never going to stop trying to pursue Christ and honor him. He's not going to heaven because he pursues Christ. It's faith in Christ and Christ alone. But one of the evidences that you're truly born again, do you really love Jesus? I know everybody tells me they love Jesus, but what's the evidence that you love Jesus? Do you pursue him? Is he your delight? Do you love Christ? Joshua did. I want to show you a few verses, just a few verses, that to just, I love this, that diligence in pursuing Christ. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You see, it's, God says, I love them that love me. It's not just words. There's evidence. Do you seek him? Do you want to know him? Do you love him? Look at Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. I want you to understand this, men. You'll never be the kind of man God wants you to be unless you pursue Christ with diligence. You'll never be the kind of man that God wants you to be unless you seek him with your heart. See, great Christians just don't happen. God does change every believer, but great Christians, it takes a humility, it takes a surrender, and it takes just a submission and seeking the Lord with all your heart, as it's the most important element of your life. Yeah, you got to go to work. Yeah, you got to mow the grass. You know, I'm talking about all the things I don't like, right? I don't have to go to work. I don't work. I know. I really don't. This, I get to do what I love to do. I tell people this. They say, well, what are you going to do when you're not pastor? I go, the exact same thing, except not preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's kind of almost true. You're like, are you kidding me? Probably. I love teaching the Bible, and that's what you allow me to do. By God's grace, I want to do it till I die. I told my kids this. I said, you know, if you're serving the Lord, put me in a nursing home. I said, because I'll have a captive audience there, and I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And I said, there's plenty of turnover. It's so cold. I said, I'll get a new audience often. And I'll say, but if you're not serving the Lord, I'm going to give you ministry. I'm coming to live with you. I'm giving them a little motivation. They're like, man, I need to serve the Lord. I do not want Dad living with me. And so I want to challenge us. Do we want Christ? He can be found. Isn't that good? It's not like the Lord is saying, you know, Marco, Polo, Marco. We act like God's difficult to find. He said, you seek me, you'll find me. He said, I'm not playing games, and I'm not playing hide and seek. You seek me, you'll find me. I love that. Don't you love that? You want to find the Lord? You want to know the Lord? You want to seek him? He can be found. Look at John 15:4, one of my favorite chapters. Ron encroached on that this morning, and I did my best. It was good. It was good. I didn't disagree with anything he said. He came close, but I didn't. It's all good. John 15:4, Jesus said this. This is the most critical part of the Christian life, abiding in Christ. And I picked two verses. I only picked one. I've got more verses in my notes. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. He says in verse 10, he said, abide in my love. I want you to know this, abiding, it means to live. It means to immerse. It means to soak in. It means that my life, I want to abide in Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to be in Christ. I want to abide in his love. If you don't know what it means to abide in Christ, abide in his love. I want to live in that. I want to immerse in that. I want to think on that. I want to be dominated by that. Then I will be different. You see, it's that love for Christ. And look, don't, this flesh, I tell people this, the people that wonder if they're saved, they're probably saved because they care. But maybe not. Maybe this morning it's the first time you've ever thought, maybe I'm not saved. If that's the case, examine your heart. 2 Timothy 2:15 talked about diligence in pursuing God. He says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The way we know God is through his word. Study it. Reading's good. Study it. Reading's good. Teach it. You know what? The best way to learn the Bible? Teach it, because then you'll study it. If you're just looking for it like it's this, if it just said this, hey, Randall, when you got some time, get in God's word. You will never get in God's word. Randall's getting a degree. They've got a foster child. He's married with three kids entering their teen years. Well, enough said. And it is a little busy. Just started a new job within the last year, right? And if you have time, you have to be diligent, or it will never happen. I love Randall. I'm just going to tell Randall this. This is just between you and me. Guys, don't listen. I know you love God, and I know you know the Lord, but if you take a break from pursuing him with diligence, your life will reflect it. Me too. See, this is no such thing as coasting in Christianity. This is no such thing that says, you know what, I appreciate that, Steve, but I got this, man. I'm good. No. It's daily. This flesh, this world wants to chew us up and spit us out. Joshua had personal diligence. Second, he had household diligence. What I mean by that, as for me and my house, he was leading his family to know Christ. You know, I tell you this, and I want to be sensitive to this. Father's Day, Mother's Day can be difficult days for people. Not everybody has children. Not everybody can have children. And I just say this, then you know this, be diligent with the household God's given you. God loves you. Seek his face. Not a less than person in this room. This message is for everybody. What Joshua said is for me and my house. What is your house? We will serve the Lord. And so I beg you to do this. Be diligent. Be diligent. What is the house God's given you? Be diligent. I tell you this, this is through observation. I'll make this statement. It's very rare that great soldiers come from homes that weren't dedicated to Christ. I see it. I see it in our midst. We have people that are soldiers and leaders in our church that didn't have the blessings of being raised by parents that loved Jesus. Let me just tell you this, though. This is my observation. It's the 90-10. The soldiers of Christ were raised in homes that said, as for me and my house, in our pathetic attempt, but by the grace of God, we will serve the Lord. Recently, me, Ron, Don, were golfing with a guy, and he joined us, and you know, I was probably a bit aggressive at first, but, you know, and then I was like, he's like, hey, what's your name? John. Oh, man, that's a great Bible name. I mean, just, you know, that's a great Bible name. Do you know much about the Bible? And he said, well, I grew up, and my parents made me go to church three times a week, and you know me. I said, man, that sounds like a great, great dad. But he trashed his dad because they made him go to church. And I don't know what his dad did. He really didn't talk about that. The longer we talked, see, he was using his dad as the excuse when he personally had rebelled against God and pursued an ungodly life. Super nice guy. I loved our guys. I don't know what to do after I kind of get, because I told him, I said, not going to make your round miserable today, you know, because we had 18 holes to go. And, you know, so I know this guy's like, And so I said, you know, so I'm not looking to cram anything. Now, I love this. Don, when we were talking, he spoke up and he goes, you know, I missed out going Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He said, I wish I had that. We had a great time. These guys did a great job. You notice me. I just don't know what to say after a while because I'm just like, we weren't meshing there. You know, and so I'm not looking to make you miserable. I cared for this guy. I wanted him to enjoy golf. And these guys, you did a great job because you talked about the things of God. And you know this, it's just that God might use that to stir his heart that says this. And I told him this. I said, don't let your parents distract you from God. Everything about him is good. Don't let bad parents distract you. But oh, let me tell you this. Lead your families. Lead your families. Lead them gently. Lead them with love. And get over the eye rolls. Get over the, do we have to? You say, no, we don't. We get to. Just, they're gonna complain because they're in the flesh. I know this, some of you. I don't even want to take a raise of hands. How many of you do not want to be here this morning? That is not a real question. I'm glad you're here. You know why? That's a part of life. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord even if my flesh doesn't want to. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord when my wife and I aren't getting along. As for me and my house, we will do what's right because Jesus is worthy. I'm not going to let circumstances derail me, and that's easier preached than lived, but I want to tell you this. Have a diligence, have a determination that says this. I'm going to learn what God wants me to do. First, I better make sure that I'm saved, but after I'm saved, I'm going to learn what God wants me to do, and by God's grace, I'm going to do it. That doesn't get you to heaven, but I will tell you this, what's amazing, when we make him the focus, we benefit. It's not what the world says. Joshua had personal diligence. Joshua had household diligence. I beg you, I love this. Dads, you'll be held more accountable than anybody in your home. Adam was held more accountable than Eve. He was not deceived, and he was given the responsibility to protect his woman. And he did not. He was standing right there. Go look at Genesis chapter 3. She didn't go looking for Adam and said, hey, take a bite. She said she gave to her husband and he did eat. He was there for the entire conversation. And he failed his job. You can't change yesterday, men. But how about, by God's grace, we can determine, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and you can't do it without Christ. You need to abide in Christ. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. My regrets are always sin. My regrets are always when I walk in the flesh. My regrets are always when I've lost that diligence and that focus on Christ. Just show you one verse real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. It says this, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. This kind of follows in the points of my message. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy daughters. It's this. He tells them this. When God brought them into the promised land and he conquered their enemy, he said, don't you forget what your eyes have seen. Don't you forget the goodness of God. And then when he says, teach them to your sons, teach them to your daughters. I want you to understand this. Coming to church is a biblical thing. Coming to church is a good thing. But the people that will be held responsible are parents. God brings somebody into your life, you need to teach them. We will be held accountable for those God brings into our life that we don't teach. Now, you can't teach people that won't let you teach them, but you at least need to ask, will you sit down with me and let you teach me? Will you love me? Will you love me? And so I tell you this, it takes diligence. Kids are relentless. They have more endurance. They are more focused on the goal. And you know what their goal is? To rule. They are determined. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. I appreciate that. You look pretty good in that on that throne, but it was meant for me. Please step down. What you need to do is lovingly, gently, and helpfully say, no. First, the person on the throne is Jesus Christ. And then I'm an understudy of Jesus, and he's told me while he's in heaven that I'm in charge. And by God's grace, we will serve the Lord. And so, come with me. Love your kids enough that you will help them love God. What's your attitude like with God? Your kids' attitude will be the same. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Third thing I want you to see, and I'll get a move on it. I say environmental diligence, and not the environment that you think of. Because look at verse 15 again. He said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites. Joshua rejected the way of the world. He knew this. They didn't have the internet back then. They did have cell phones. Somebody's like, they had cell phones. That's amazing. No, they didn't. But they had the world. The world system was as against God as it is today. And Joshua had to say this. Are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites? Are you going to serve the gods of this land? He said, but as for me and my house, I'm going to protect my house from the gods of this land. I'm going to protect my house from the evils of this world. He said, I'm going to protect them. I want you to see just a few verses. Look at Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Joshua was really determined in this. I'm going to help the hearts of my children. I'm going to protect them. And you know this, I'm not opposed to sheltering your children. When do you stop sheltering them? 7 years old? I think not. I don't know when that is. You really can't shelter your kids. The devil has a plan greater than yours and mine, and he's going to get to your kids. He said, you need to protect their hearts. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Look at this in Joshua 22:5. But take diligent heed to the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. You see, he said this. He was going to have household diligence, but then he had to have environmental diligence that said this. I cannot allow the world to destroy my home. I cannot allow the world to destroy my family. Whatever your family is, you've got to have diligence. You've got to understand. I don't know about conspiracy theories, but I do know who has a conspiracy. And you know who has a conspiracy? The devil! He's had a plan for 6,000 years, and it's to chew you up and spit you out. And what are the sparkles that you want, Mike? He's got them just for you. I mean, and it's just perfect for you to destroy you. You know why he hates you? You're made in the image of God. Anything to do with God, he hates. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. He doesn't stop. Old and young and everybody in between, he's got a plan to destroy you. It's going to take diligence for you to say this. I've got to fight the ways of the world. That means what you put in, right? Computers are made out of garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage into your mind. You put garbage into your eyes. You're going to live garbage out of your life. I love the movie. I just went blank on the movie. It's an old movie. It had Kirk Cameron. It's a romantic movie. Fireproof. I loved Fireproof. It's good. If you haven't seen Fireproof, it might seem a little corny. It'll be good for you. Light the fires of your marriage. It'll be good. Fireproof. So I don't usually recommend movies. I have it on DVD. If you don't know what a DVD is, I'll let you know about that afterwards as well. And so but what I loved about Fireproof, Kurt Cameron's playing this role, and he struggled with lust. He struggled with what he was viewing. I love this. He took a baseball bat to his computer. He said, you know this, I don't have enough discipline, and I'd rather destroy this computer and honor God. And sometimes that's what we must do. You know what's going to give us victory? It's not destroying your computer, but it's really loving God. But if you need to destroy your computer in the meantime, do it. If your phone is eating you up, chewing you up, and spitting you out, then you know what? You don't need a phone. I know you're like, I don't need a phone? You don't. If you eat 3 times a day, and you breathe, and you sleep, I think you'll live. That's the latest I checked. I don't think a phone is a necessity of life, though I know it feels like it, right? There's still buildings called banks. You can walk in. I would like some money. Now, you need to have money in there in order to get money, but I want you to understand this. It is, what kind of environment are our children living in? There's a family, you don't know them. They won't allow their children to come here because we preach about hell. Their child is 5 years old, and he knows more horror movies than any other child I've ever known. can't hear about the truth of heaven and hell. And it's not like, so don't think when you come to Master Clubs, it's going to be like, well, we're on our 12th week of hell today. Amen. No, it's a reality of the Bible. No one goes to heaven because of fear, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It needs to jolt you, and then you'll see the glory of Christ. The environment. They're worried about this environment, and they have an environment of evil and death and slaughter and stuff that five-year-olds just ought not to see. Do you understand? But that is how the devil works. He has convinced them, church bad, and some churches are bad. We're trying not to be. Horror movies good. Is that messed up thinking? It's what the devil wants. He wants everybody to fear. You're walking around. I'll tell you. Anxiety is at its highest I can imagine. I'm just telling you that from observation. I've never seen more people anxious. It's because there's more vehicles of fear. The only one to fear is the Lord. What's the environment of your home? Fourth thing is a humble diligence. He had a personal diligence. He needed to know that he knew Christ personally. Secondly, he had a household diligence. Joshua said, I've got to lead my family. I'm going to help my family walk in the ways of the Lord. I need to be steadfast, unmovable. I need to have endurance. Third, an environmental diligence. He said this, the gods of this world are all over the place. I need to protect my family from that. But fourth, a humble diligence. And the reason why I say that, choosing to serve than to be served. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to understand this. The greatest privilege of being a Christian is to be able to serve God. See, I think I'm wrong but right when I say this. So just understand, I'm wrong but right. God's not here for us. Though you'll see this next verse, Jesus came to serve. We're here for God. I told you I'm right and I'm wrong, right? Let me show you this verse. Mark 10:45 says this, for the Son of Man, speaking of Jesus, it's a messianic title, Son of Man. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, or not to be served, but to serve or minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, what I love about Joshua understood, I'm here to serve the king. I'm at the pleasure of the king. The Bible calls every believer an ambassador. Ambassadors can be fired, and it's not what God will do, but they're at the pleasure of the president, right? They serve at the pleasure of the president. I want you to know this. If you're saved, God's fully committed to you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. If you're saved, I want you to understand that. He's committed, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that good news? But we serve according to his good pleasure. See, what we need to do is we need to examine our lives. Are we living our lives in service to the king, or are we living our lives in service to me? We've talked a lot about family today. We've talked a lot about responsibility today. See, I'm telling you this, we can even be out of balance if we're too focused on our family. God is more important. They're never at conflict. If you truly focus on God, your family will benefit. I'm not talking about neglect. But I want you to remember this. You know, we saw that make your choosing or your calling and election sure. Well, election is about God choosing every believer for service. Let me ask you this. How you doing? Serving the Lord. Remember, we talked diligence. You want to be a servant? Doesn't happen by accident. You want to be a godly man, a godly woman? It just doesn't happen by accident. It's that by God's grace, you seek him and he will be found. And you say, oh God, I want you. I want you on Sunday. And you know what I'll tell you to do? How about a little focus on him today? And then when Monday comes, you go, oh God, may you be my focus today as you're driving to work. Diligence for the glory of God, not the glory of Steve, not the glory of Hope Baptist Church, not the glory of anything but Christ. Diligence, 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 diligence. If five men or five women said, by the grace of God, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our church will be different. And I love our church. It's not me criticizing our church. If your pastor had the diligence that Joshua had, had the diligence the scripture talks about, you'll see a different man. You won't have to ask me what has happened. You'll see a difference. Diligence. Remember this. When we have diligence, it's all to the glory of God by His grace. Remember that verse I showed you, 1 Corinthians 15:10? But all men, let's be diligent. Christ is worth it. Christ is worth it. Your families are worth it. Whatever your family is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray.